Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Back on Get Up, time for Best of the Week, brought to you by Ace Hardware. You know what? When you're a little kid and you go to talk show host school, this is the day you dream about.
You
He's looking at a nap at any point today.
Unlikely.
Let's go! Period. New paragraph. If Jalen Brunson is 6'2", I'm Yao Ming. That's I'm George Mirasan. I'll pick someone even taller.
Y'all need to stop. I'm not trying to get in this conversation. It's that grainy layout.
Maybe later someone will explain to me what's going on.
That's exactly what went right over your head.
We'll discuss it later. I don't know.
I don't want to belabor this, but I'm going to anyway. It's like herding cats trying to get these three guys together.
I'm so tired of watching Greeny. Kinesiology. We were talking kinesiology.
Hosted a game show once. It was called Duel. We called it that because the only two people who ever watched it shot each other.
I'll go with Latrell.
Latrell Sprewell is right.
Oh!
You hurt my hand.
Did you see that?
Brunson plus 26. If Brunson can play, they'll be all right. If he can't, if he...
Just drop it. That was a mic drop.
That was better than
exactly, that was. Get a meme ready, everybody. I demand a meme. The wing man.
What a wing. He's the best.
What is going on?
Man hasn't slept in at least a week.
Built for memes.
Yeah, he was at that, he was at an upfront we did yesterday afternoon. He just never stops, and he'll be in Indiana ready to go tonight for game three. We've got the action tonight. We've got a terrific hour coming your way live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. The squad is ready, and the night last night was inexplicable. Show me the highlight here. Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs, Jason Tatum and the Celtics. They're just going to cruise, right? And you would think so, particularly early. Tatum, they will. Uh-oh, Darius Garland is down.
Jason Tatum definitely had his thing going on early for a guy who hasn't played well in the series thus far, but still a lot of three-point shots and them not really attacking the paint was the issue.
He had 25, but to your point, they were down going into the second quarter, and then the third quarter, Drea, belonged to Donovan Mitchell.
Well, I was so impressed by Donovan Mitchell. 29 points, 10 of 19 from the field. He knocked down five threes and was in his bag. That crossover.
Whoop. Snatched.
Snatched, yanked, all the above.
7 of 10 were the Cavs from 3 in that third quarter. The Celtics 0 for 8. And then more of the same, Chiney, in that fourth quarter. It was Mitchell doing it and the Celtics not.
One of the most explosive players remaining in the playoffs. I love Donovan Mitchell. Everyone will talk about his points, but his leadership, making sure he brings his guys along with him. Are you not entertained? There's a shrug.
Hey, the shrug was great as the bank was open and then continuing to take it to the hole. The inexplicable happens again. The folks leaving early, the Celtics don't just lose at home, they get blown out. Jason Tatum, what happened?
Nobody was in there defeated or deflated. I mean, never want to lose, especially in the playoffs. We get it, right? The world thinks we're never supposed to lose. We're supposed to win every game by 25. And it's not going to be like that all the time.
Well, so last night, let's just give you some perspective on how ridiculous a blowout this was. The Celtics were 12.5-point favorites in this game. They lost by 24, which is the largest loss by a double-digit favorite in the playoffs in 33 years. Kendrick Perkins was watching. He didn't like it.
It's the sense of urgency, right? It's the laid back, being cool, Jason Tatum saying, oh, people don't expect us to lose games. Well, we don't, especially at home where you have been so dominant. And I'm waiting on this Jason Tatum moment, right? We've been talking about Tyrese Maxey, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, Donovan Mitchell. When are we going to talk about Jason Tatum?
Well, let's talk about Jason Tatum right now. Okay, so here's the point. We get into a bad place when we always say, well, what would Michael say? What would Kobe say? Because not everyone is like that. Jason Tatum is his own person. He's a magnificent player, and everybody loves him. So I'm not that part of it. It's sort of walking a slippery slope when you say, I don't want my star walking out there after we just got blown out at home in game two and acting like, it's okay, we're still going to win the series anyway. That's not the approach. If I'm a fan of that team, I would like him a little angrier and with a little greater sense of this is unacceptable, coming out there after the game. If that's not him, that's not him. But that might be part of the reason we keep seeing these games.
Well, we didn't see it, but Jaylen Brown was that guy after the game last night. If you look at his comments, he's saying inexcusable, yeah. Got lit up on defense. So he verbalized it. But look, the Celtics are a 500 team at home in the playoffs over the last three playoffs, I think. That's just not good enough. Jason Tatum hasn't been Jason Tatum yet. And we are fresh off seeing this exact movie against the Miami Heat, where they laid an egg in game two against a team that they should not be able to lose to ever, and they came back and won the next three. So that may happen here. But at some point, this is going to bite the Celtics. At some point, a series is going to go longer than it should, and someone's going to sprain their ankle, and it's going to mess up the rest of their playoff run. I said before game two on NBA Today, I said, I want to come see them lay the smackdown. Now, Jason Tatum's out here saying, well, people expect us to win every game by 25. Nobody expects that. That's not a thing. You don't win every game by 25 in the playoffs. People expect you not to lose by 24 points or whatever it was at home against the Cleveland Cavaliers. People expect you not to give up like four transition baskets where you just don't get back on defense. People expect you not to get backdoor cut three, four, not Jason Tatum specifically, but three, four, or five times a game. They did not bring it on defense last night. That's why they lost. The Cavs made shots, and the Celtics didn't bring it on defense. If they bring it on defense, it's at least a closer game. They're still going to win the series because they're just better than everybody else in the East. But it was a disappointing just lack of just like, man, it's the second round. Let's come out there.
Yeah, and we know the Boston Celtics algorithm. They want to shoot threes. They want to make more threes than the other team. We also saw that they tried not to just rely on that. They tried to attack the basket. They did not try successfully. But all of this reminds me of a book. I think only Andrea would get it. It's called Divergence. You're waiting for this moment of divergence where they say, hey, these threes aren't falling. These one-on-one moves with me trying to get to the basket aren't falling. Us passing the ball and not scoring off of assists is not working. In the book Divergence, the main character goes and chooses a faction. And when you choose a faction, you have to live by it. The faction she chose was Dauntless, which shows bravery. I think we're waiting for that moment of divergence for the Celtics, whether it is second half of games when teams are going up, where you choose to be brave, you choose to just put all your emotions on the table and win. You're a teacher.
Did you just call the other three of us old? Is that
pretty
what
much?
No, it's not old.
Is that what happened?
You're talking about the movie with Shailene Woodley in it?
Yes. The movie Divergence.
It's a great movie too, but if you
started off as a book.
Don't underrate us. Don't do that.
Okay, my bad.
She just knows I'm on the same page.
We're always on the same wavelength.
But let's get to the point.
I love Hunger Games. It is the Hunger Games.
Let's get to the point, though, however, that she was making, which I've now forgotten what it was.
Yeah, what was the point again?
The point is,
they need to choose to be brave.
The point is, the Celtics should be, they should be angrier than they are about this happening, but there's a part of me that feels like if they were, then it wouldn't happen in the first place. They almost lost to a Miami team they were better than in the conference final 2 years ago. They lost to a Golden State team they were better than in the final that year. They lost to a Miami team they were much better than in the Eastern Conference final last year, in part because they didn't even show up and play Game 7 in their own building. They are, as Zach just pointed out, 14-14 at home in the last two playoffs plus so far into this one. That's not what championship teams do, Drea, and that's why you don't trust them. You just can't trust them.
Here's the thing, and Jason Tatum's like, you know, we're not defeated, we're not deflated. That's fine. No one expects you to be defeated or deflated. We all think that they're still going to win the series, but how about motivated? How about irritated? Right? Like how about that? We did the same thing against the Heat. We're motivated, we're irritated with ourselves, we're going to turn it on, we're confident we're going to win the series. He's just so nonchalant in his answers, and that's what to me, that's how they played on the court. Their closeouts were nonchalant. The defense for me, as I was watching, high hips, they're barely closing out, their hands are down. They looked so uninterested in defending the Cavs. At one point, Donovan Mitchell slowly sliced through two Celtics defenders. It was a little sidestep, you remember, Zach, and then finished at the rim. So their disinterest, lack of interest on the defensive side was what did not get it done for me. And then for Jason Tatum to come and show a lack of interest in the press conference, just like, yeah, we're fine. Everyone expects us to win. No one expects you to win by 25 every game, but we do expect you to win at home because that's what we've seen from you all season long. And we do expect effort because you all have a chance to go to the finals. And we've put you as the favorites at times in the finals.
They don't have a chance to go to the finals.
It's right there.
If they don't go to the finals, it is a disaster.
I still think I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, Drea. I hear you on the Jason Tatum thing, but also understanding their dynamic, it feels like at times that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are fire and ice and how they lead. Jaylen Brown is more the fire. You know, you talk Jason Tatum is more the ice, like, because he's so smooth in the way he goes about things. There are times you wish they were both fire and fire. I think the bigger problem that I have about this team is that a lot of times their defense is predicated on their offense. And when their offense isn't clicking, when they're not making shots, all of a sudden they don't give you the effort and they don't keep their foot on the gas. Like, look, it's one thing to lose a playoff home game in the second round by 4 or 5 points in a close game. You got smacked by 20. And that always leads to the identity question around this team. Like, yo, what is your identity? And that is something to worry about long term as you advance and the talent gets
better. And that's what makes me nervous. As you advance, the talent gets better. When it gets to these close time games, what is their identity? Because I think the big question here is they were fortunate that Evan Mobley got into foul trouble because then Tristan Thompson came in the game and he did a really good job.
And they still out-rebounded
And they still out-rebounded to me. In close times, it's not just Jason Tatum trying to figure out what to do. Jaylen Brown, I feel like he tries to go even regardless. It's Coach Joe Mazzullo as well. Because they have won games by, more than any other team by the largest margin. They're not necessarily in those circumstances. So when that circumstance arrives, you have faith in them knowing what to do. Do you have faith in them defending? The biggest issue is Evan Mobley was setting screens, and he generated the most points in the last 2 years versus, you know, under a coach, Joe Mazzullo, than anybody else. I think it was 33 to 36 points in that pick and roll. How are you going to adjust? When you see that pick and roll working, how are you going to adjust? That's why I say they missed Porzingis. A lot of people call me crazy when I said Porzingis was the X factor for them because he is top five in rim protection. He sort of sends, he cleans things up in ways that allows them to have shorter courts to let that offense go so you can set up your defense. And so when you see them in clutch time, I know it's not these games that you don't panic over. I'm worried about the clutch time here in the times to come.
Respectfully, Jay Will, you can't be ice when you lose by 24 on your home court and you show that that lack of defense. You can't be ice after that game. I'm fine if they competed. I'm fine if they showed some sense of urgency and then he's ice because he's cool and he's smooth and he's confident in his team. That's fine. But you show no urgency and then you're ice. I don't like that approach.
I mean, look, knowing Jason Tatum's pissed off. I'm sure he's pissed off they lost. He's not angry. I think we take a soundbite and so we're going to equate that he's not angry. That's not the case. I do wish he would have showed more. I understand at that given moment.
Just a little bit.
It's more of the identity that I worry
about. That's how I tried to start the conversation because it is dangerous for us. Sometimes we put things on others and say, you must be this way because that we've seen that work before. You know him way better than the rest of us. He's a Duke guy like you are and all that kind of stuff. If that's just not in his nature, that's fine. And no one can criticize him for being anything other than what he is. What I'm saying is, sometimes, if he has a little bit more of that kind of laid-back personality, it would explain, because the team takes on the personality of their best player, why sometimes the team seems to behave that way.
I agree with you. I think sometimes also as a player, we have to recognize, or the fans have to recognize, when your team is going through these challenges. Look, I would have handled things differently. I think we all would have. But also you get asked the same questions by the same beat writers all the time, and sometimes you end up having little things like, here it comes again. I understand it's part of the job. I understand it's part of the job. You do, but it's also the reality of the situation sometimes when team players get lost in it.
If your team doesn't get beat by 24, you don't get asked those questions.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was Brad Stevens named executive of the year?
He was.
Okay, thank you. I think this team was constructed knowing that Jason Tatum is not necessarily always fire. You know, they brought in pieces to allow to enhance him so he doesn't have to be the best player every night. So I think they understand the identity of their star based off of what those moves were made.
I don't care what he said. I cared how they played.
Agreed. That's why I go back to identity.
And as a quick postscript, Divergent is a 2011 novel. It's a dystopian science fiction story in a post-apocalyptic Chicago where people are divided into distinct factions based on human virtues. Beatrice is warned that she is divergent and thus will never fit into any of the factions. She soon learns that a sinister plot is brewing in the seemingly perfect society.
Hunger Games!
Your phone?
Thank you!
Your phone is the internet?
How do you know how to work the internet?
How about that?
Other factions? I want to look at mine.
Yeah, we got to get...
Harry Potter.
I remember my daughter loving that movie.
Thank you.
Coming up. If you are 6 feet tall and can dribble, please report to Indiana now. Knicks need you desperately. Are they too banged up to win tonight? We'll answer that question next.
That means Greeny cannot report to Indiana.
One and done for Frank Vogel and the Knicks. Oh, is the spotlight now on KD? And I'm catching strays. We're back in just a moment.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify could do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/getup, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/getup to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/getup.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. All right, we are back on Get Up and Game 2 last night in OKC. The previously unbeaten in the playoffs Thunder taking on Luka Doncic. And I just want you to watch what happens to Luka's face right here.
Oh,
we're going to give you another look.
Why?
My goodness. Spitting chiclets like a hockey player. But he stayed in and actually played great. Little over a minute left in the third. Thunder down a dozen. Doncic playing defense and turning it into offense. Look at that pass.
Hey, Dre, I'm looking for a dime.
That's top of the line.
That pass was top of the line. You knew that, Jay, right?
You locked up, though.
Oh, I did? What do you mean?
It's a great pass.
Thank you.
Stay with me here. Mavs extend the lead to 14. Early fourth.
I know what kind of dime you were talking about.
Doncic is going to get hurt again. Jay Will, we got Ish. Look, he's limping around. What happened?
On this one, just rolling the ankle. But here, look, the next possession, he got right back at it again.
And he's got to step back. He had that lift in the
man
day
down
that he didn't seem to have the other day. Mavs take a 9-point lead. Luka would score 29 plus 10 rebounds plus 7 assists.
Ooh, pivot, pirouette.
For the first time in these playoffs, OKC drops a game. This one's all even at one. Much more on this matchup as we continue in this hour. Now, game three is tonight. We will have them both, including Knicks, Pacers, and Indy. The injuries are piling up. The injury report, no surprise. Jalen Brunson, questionable with the foot. OG Anunoby, out with the hamstring. Despite all of that, Stephen A. Smith, as you heard last night, still believes.
You should be proud of this team.
I am proud.
Whatever happens.
Yeah.
I am proud.
Really? I mean,
I am proud, but damn it, it ain't over yet. Well, the epitaph is not written. Okay. It's not a funeral yet. You still got 2-game lead. They got to win 4 of the last 5 games. No.
I loved everything about that. But just when, the way he's – like, he's talking to them like they're his kids. Mm-hmm. Like, listen, even if they lose, you should be so proud of them. Look, the bottom line is I think there is something to that, though. Right? Like, I think there – I walk the streets of the city every day, and I hear from Knicks fans, and I think the Knicks fans are ridiculously proud of this team because they have just continued to weather all of these injuries. But at some point, Shanae, when do they add up to a place that they are not overcomeable? Is Anunoby – the bridge that is finally too far.
Look, I still believe the Knicks can win this series, but we're at that moment, as Zach said before, of true crisis. Because Jalen Brunson, we all know, no one comes into the postseason 100%. He is probably way less than the normal at this point with that foot. I was so impressed that he is. Look at all the players that are out. Those are star players.
Three of those guys are starters.
Thank you. All starters and star players. You look at the 24 points that he scored in the second half. That was super heroic. Now you're going up against the Pacers squad that not only has the speed, the second fastest team in basketball, but they also had the bodies to be able to run and throw everyone, which they tried to do in that fourth quarter by double teaming him, but the Knicks made him pay. But a lot of the people that made him pay, they're out of the game. OG Anunoby is also the Pascal Siakam stopper. I expect more adjustments. I expect more Pascal. I expect the Knicks to have, you know, this is an unprecedented amount of adversity. Even though they are dealing with this, I do see them. I mean, this guy controls the game. How do you bet against Jalen Brunson? Like, it's very hard, but at the end of the day, these things will add up. The miles, I joke, and the numbers, I think it's like 27.6. Josh Hart has literally run a marathon the last 8 games, the most miles that we have seen since 2003. At some point, they're going up against a team that is designed to make them pay for that. It's gonna catch up with them, even though they still have the requisite talent in the series.
And he's done it without a break. Which brings us to Drea.
True.
Which is an interesting point here that we're going to make. Now, I am the one who told you that the Lakers were making a huge mistake winning that play-in game and all that kind of stuff because they needed to avoid Denver. And, of course, I was right, even though I got yelled at by everybody. And so I sort of am, you brought up something in our meeting this morning that I thought was interesting. At what point, if you're the Knicks and everyone on your team has played 48 or 46 or 44 minutes in all these games, do you take a 2-0 lead, you look at it, and you say, maybe tonight we let Jalen rest?
I don't think it's a decision made by the coaches or the owners. I think it's a decision based on how Jalen Brunson feels. And I do think Jalen Brunson is going to try to play if it's just pain, right? You talked about earlier how you can work with a foot. There are different ways where you can work with it, where you can play through it. But if the doctors or people that are looking at his foot decide, listen, this thing needs time to rest, the Knicks have put themselves in a position to sometimes you have to save an athlete from themselves, right? Every athlete wants to be out there for their team competing. The Knicks have put themselves in a position by protecting home court where they can say, listen, you can rest this game. We will compete without you. Give some of these other guys that haven't played any minutes, give them a chance to put things on film, and let's see how this game three goes, and you will be much better for game four. If there's going to be a big difference in how he feels if he rests, they put themselves in a position to do so.
Can I make sure everyone notices on our screen? It says -7.5 by Pacers. Hembo showed that to me on the radio yesterday for the first time with the injuries. The Knicks were a 4.5-point favorite in game two. I mean, Vegas has decided that these injuries are going to catch up to the Knicks in a very big way tonight.
I think Vegas is right. I think the Pacers have a really good chance to get back into series and even win it. The best thing the Knicks have going for them is that they won the first two games.
Yeah.
By the way, barely.
Yeah.
And if Rick Carlisle is to be believed with some help from the officials, but that's a whole different story. That's the best thing they have going for them. That's why they should still win the series. But most times a favorite goes up 2-0 and they have those soul-crushing wins against the underdog, even if they're at home, and you think, well, that's a wrap. Like, this team can't win 4 out of 5. I think the Pacers actually can win 4 out of 5.
Look, I think even if Jalen Brunson plays tonight, which I would deem he's going to play, I still think the table is set pretty much for the Pacers to win with the way Rick Carlisle has set the table with the referees, with them being angry.
Tonight.
I think
not the series, but
tonight. Pacers win tonight, right? I think the Pacers win tonight.
Well, they better.
Because I think they're going to play with a little bit more defensive sense of urgency. But when, you know, tonight you were talking about throwing a lot of bodies. To me, Indiana reminds me more of an AAU team. So I think they'll throw bodies and they'll be defensively locked in, but their overall identity is based off offense and running and playing fast pace. I think it's inevitable they revert back to that identity, and I think that favors Jalen Brunson and the way they can play because it turns into an offensive game. And I think you guys are overlooking Jalen Brunson and this Knick team. I think they're used to being the underdogs, and I think that's going to set a table for Josh Hart.
Overlooking the Knicks.
No, I think it's going to. I think the table is set for Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, for us to come back in over the weekend and be like, can you guys believe they got one on the road in Indy?
Well, look, it better be set for them because no one else is playing. They're playing all the minutes.
That's exactly right. Look, they will have played two games by the time we get back here on Monday morning. Game three is tonight. Game four is Sunday afternoon on ABC, by the way.
What did you say, 34-hour turnaround?
Adds up to.
Who are you taking to win the series?
Tonight about 10 o'clock.
Oh, I'm curious.
Who are you taking?
We're going to pick the games a little bit later in this hour.
Oh, we need to get paid while we're picking.
That's a great team.
We've got to get paid while we're
picking. If I'm a Knicks fan today, I'm very worried.
They guys are always worried.
They would not have won either of the first two games of this series without Ananobi.
That's true. They're always
they would not have won either of the first two games.
You guys are anxious fans overall.
Well, I mean, we have a lot of reason to be anxious. We haven't done anything in 24 years. So let's leave that where it is. Coming up, KD's coach get fired. Stop me if you've heard that before.
Oh,
what
wow.
does this mean for him and his team? Plus, speaking of Indiana, we'll get back there. Caitlin Clark back on the court last night. How much pressure is on her to be great right away as the regular season begins next week? We'll talk about that and much more as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Up 9 here. 2 seconds left. Mitchell gets it off. You bet! Donovan Mitchell taking over, facilitating in the first half, scoring in the second. And this series is tied at 1 game apiece.
At the end of the day, it's 1 win. You know, continuing to build upon it and protect home court.
We bounced back plenty of times, so I would like to think that we respond pretty well the few times that we did lose.
All right, back on Get Up, bottom of the hour. We've talked about it a lot this morning. Donovan Mitchell was by far the best player on the floor, and the Cavaliers even up their series with the Celtics, who played one of their worst offensive games of the season. They scored 94 points. They shot 23% from three with just 8 makes. That's their fewest threes in a game since February 27th. A bad night for them, and we'll talk more about it as we continue. Meanwhile, a bad day for Frank Vogel in Phoenix. He's been fired by the Suns after just 1 season. That comes off a year in which high expectations ended with an underwhelming first-round sweep in the playoffs. According to Woj, former Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer is the Suns' top target, with discussions expected to move quickly towards a deal. Now, I'm just going to show you this, and it is what it is. Everyone is going to make a big deal out of it. It's presented without any context. Since Kevin Durant left Golden State, whoever they hire to be the next coach, whether it's Coach Bud or anybody else, will be the 6th head coach his teams have had. And in that time, his teams have won a combined total of 2 playoff series. So we had a lengthy conversation and got deeply into this earlier this morning. Let me start it again here, Zach, by just simply asking you this. Like, should this stuff stick to Kevin Durant? Some will say it's totally unfair that we keep laying all of the things that happen on his teams, everything that happened in Brooklyn, everything that happened here. Is it unfair to lay this stuff at the feet of Kevin Durant?
It sticks to him, but it also sticks to other people. It sticks to Matt Ishbia. It sticks to Devin Booker. It sticks to Bradley Beal. It sticks to the whole team. It sticks to Frank Vogel. The whole team failed, and it failed because of everybody involved. But that is an interesting series of events, and I said this earlier, but I just feel like Kevin Durant has been kind of a wayward soul searching for the right place to be ever since he left Oklahoma City. And the Golden State thing worked out, and it didn't satisfy him. You know why I know it didn't satisfy him? Because he left.
Right.
And since then, it's been Brooklyn fail, Phoenix fail. And look, he did say, I want out of Brooklyn, after saying I want Sean Marks and Steve Nash fired, by the way. And he said, I want to go to Phoenix. What that meant was upheaval in Phoenix. It meant Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, all the draft picks, all the swaps, all the ability to keep building your team around Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And at that point, Chris Paul. And the team just wasn't good enough this year. They won no playoff games. Like, they're not close to being good enough to justify what they invested. And we can make this about Kevin Durant if you want, and it is a little bit about him, but it's about a lot of different things that went wrong for the Phoenix Suns. And next year, they can't afford to have things go wrong. If we're having the same discussion next year, it sticks to Durant and it sticks to everybody in a really ugly way.
That's fair, and that's right. But I want to go back to the initial question, because there's only one person in this conversation who is an historic great, who is an immortal. He's going to go down as one of the greatest in the history of the sport. Frank Vogel isn't. Matt Ishbia isn't. Bradley Beal isn't. Devin Booker, we'll see. He's got a lot of time left in his career. But Kevin Durant is. He's that good.
Mm-hmm.
So how much of this, I'll just ask the same question again, how much of it should stick to him?
You know, it's fascinating about this, Greeny. It's, you know, the same reason why people sometimes try to destroy LeBron, because he takes on such a GM role and tries to help out with pieces and working with teammates, players, and things of the sort. Kevin Durant feels like a more of an old school player where he's looking for the right GM to lead him. He's really not as involved in a lot of those decisions. And I think that's been more of a detriment to society and the way they viewed him. To me, I view Kevin Durant as the ultimate mercenary. Like, you know, he's not going to be the guy to orchestrate a roster. He might have a say here or there, but he needs like a bona fide great leader around him to help orchestrate the situation.
Hold on a second. I have to stop you there. He chose to go with Kyrie. They chose to bring in James Harden. They chose their coach. He chose Phoenix. And I can't imagine there's any way they traded for Bradley Beal without him at least saying, yeah, that sounds like a good idea to me. So I think he's had at least some say in all of these decisions. It would be crazy for him not to. He's too good not to consult.
That's why I said he needs a great leader around him to say, hey, these aren't the right decisions.
I got you.
And that's where you had guys like Jerry Krause. For as much as people love Michael Jordan, you had a guy who was like, no, this is how we're going to build a roster. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
He needs somebody like that. That's also a gift, I think, for LeBron James that people overlook his ability to make those right decisions that have led to championships.
Good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
Go ahead, Janae. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think that's really interesting because when we think about Kevin Durant, he's a poster child for what a skilled, the most skilled person at 7 feet that we've ever seen in the game, right? But he's also the poster child of transition because he came from the era where the greatest players had to be the best player, the most demonstrative, the most leadership type of quality guys. Like LeBron James is expected to dictate. Steph Curry was expected to dictate in the ways that his game did it for him. I think we put those same expectations on Kevin Durant, whereas I think now we can recognize some guys are just different. The same way we talk about Jason Tatum, we expect him to lead. That's not the nature in which teams are constructed. And so I think KD was the poster child of being that different mold. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to LeBron, when it comes to Steph, and we hear all these killers, like we have this expectation because you occupy this space based off your talent, you have to be that guy. He is not that guy, and he has suffered from that perception.
The whole thing, I can't even speak on the Kevin Durant part because I think so many different pieces play a role in what this Phoenix Suns team looked like. Like, I don't care what coach you bring in, the starting five has issues up and down the lineup. Like, Bradley Beal's health is an issue. Your depth in the post is an issue. Like, there's issues with the way this team is constructed. So it might not matter who you bring in to coach this team. They might not have levels of success. I certainly don't think this lineup is going to compete for a finals. They need lineup changes.
That's what I was going to go around and ask everybody. Like, what are we really talking about here? Let's ask the question. Why did the Suns win 49 games and no playoff games? Like, why do we think that happened?
Maybe because they just – one answer could be because they just ran into the best team, who is now smoking Denver at the same time. A lot of people I've heard suggest maybe Phoenix looks a little better – after what we're seeing Minnesota do to Denver.
No, but it's how they lost. The fact that their big three was minus 51, the worst of any trio in the postseason.
Denver's losing the same way right now.
Well, what makes you think a new coach is going to come in and just have all of the right answers and be able to connect to these teams? Like, the grass is not always green on the other side.
Very quick final thought.
It's a Band-Aid when they need surgery. And the fact is they can only afford Band-Aids, so this is going to be a problem that persists.
If they could bring in Red Auerbach, that's not going to solve the problems they have right now. Okay. We've got something else to do, and that is watch that woman play basketball.
Woo, let's get it.
Indiana Fever and Atlanta Dream. It's Caitlin Clark's preseason home debut in Indianapolis, and we're just going to show you all of the buckets that she made last night in front of 13,000 exuberant fans in the building.
And that is the number people should be talking about, 13,000, because the Fever, they averaged 4,000 fans last year. This is the Caitlin Clark effect. You're going to see many buckets. I want you guys to be inspired from these buckets and go check out what Nelissa Smith did as well. She dropped the body. The attention that Caitlin brings is going to be fed off of her teammates, and it's going to be a beautiful sight for the Fever for years to come.
We've talked about this. When eyes are on Caitlin, eyes are on the league, right? We're sitting here talking about the WNBA on Get Up this morning. It puts eyes on the league. The league is expanding. That's going to be a fantastic thing.
Let's go.
About this in a second.
Oh, hey, Gabby.
You're talking about Caitlin. We are going to talk about her to see how she performs in this league. Why? Because it's a really hard league to have success in. There are really great players, so everyone's interested in how she does.
And there are subplots, because if she performs well, there's a shot that she can even make the Olympic team, which is something people are going to be tracking.
She had 12 points in the game last night. Again, it's a preseason game. Her first regular season game is Tuesday night. We will have that for you. on ESPN2. A couple of different things I want to get to with her. Let's start with the tape that you put together on her shooting.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is not her shooting, because she struggled shooting from the field. 4 of 12 from the field. She struggled knocking down shots. She said she was a little nervous. She said she rushed them. She did have 6 turnovers. But if you watch this, she made the right reads at times, which is what you want for Caitlin Clark. You see here, she sees Cheyenne Parker is a step off the block, so she attacks and finishes at the rim. Now here, great pocket pass action. Alyssa Smith rolling to the basket. Caitlin Clark draws 2 defenders. The paint is wide open. Why? Because Aaliyah Boston is on the opposite block, so she draws attention. Alyssa Smith, easy bucket. And then here, all the defenders locked in on Caitlin Clark. You've got a shooter on the backside in Samuelson. The defense tries to recover in time. Caitlin makes the right read.
Hey, Katie Lou.
I know she had turnovers. I know she turned the ball over, but she made the right read. She found her teammates, and it only goes up from here. All we can ask of Caitlin right now, make the right reads, take the right shots, play the right way, and have fun with your teammates, and that's what we're seeing to start the season.
Look, there's one thing we all saw during that magic carpet ride of really back-to-back seasons that she had. She's an unbelievable shooter from distance, and she is as good a passer, particularly in transition, as anyone in the game today. Here's the question, and I have this note here. I want to make sure that I have it right. The growth in the women's game, reports this morning that the WNBA is now expanding to Toronto. So we are seeing the growth in the game. I cannot recall, I've been around a really long time, I can't recall any one individual having this kind of impact in a team sport league that she is having. With that comes a lot of pressure. We've spent this morning talking about how much of this goes on KD and all that. She's walking in with that. What do you make of that?
I think a lot of people, and shout out to Caitlin, because I love what she's doing to the game. People always talk about I think it was Debbie Antonelli that called it the Clarkonomics, right? Mm-hmm. People talk about trickle down. We should call it trickle up when it comes to where women's basketball is, because the rising tide lifts all boats. But I want to make sure people understand this clearly. Charter flights were always in the matrix. They were always in the design. Expansion were always in the design. The moment has arrived where the investment matches finally us being able to put these ideas to fruition. It wasn't just Caitlin Clark. There was precedent set from 2020, the last CBA, where we were trying to walk before we run. And I'm just glad that the timing matches, because the investment, it took years to get to this point.
That was my point. You've got investment. You have eyes. You have WNBA hype based on WNBA fans that have been watching this league, and now you have Caitlin coming in, bringing an entirely new audience to celebrate what the WNBA has built itself to be. So it is two great things, the WNBA being where it is, the talent level that it is. The Aces are just repeat back-to-back champions. Any of these new fans that are coming to watch Caitlin compete against the Aces, they're going to fall in love with the Aces.
Thank you.
It's two big things meeting each other.
Remember,
it's a moment.
Revenue was around $60 million in 2020. It's now $200 million. So the idea that this is all happening because of Caitlin Clark, no. The revenue has been doubling for years. The investment has been there, and now the changes are fully being enacted, and she's bringing even more.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It is the perfect storm. It is really, I mean, for things to become as significant as this feels like it's about to, you need a lot of forces to line up.
Yep.
And one of them is timing. And to your point, it feels like this was exactly the time for someone like her to step in and bring all these new casual fans into the tent.
Icing on the cake.
As maybe only she can. We'll see. We'll see her starting next week with the regular season. In the meantime, as we continue here, from superstar to superstar, Jalen Brunson's incredible playoff run. Is there anything the Pacers can do to stop him tonight? We'll get to that. But first, here we go, guys. The pressure is on you, Zach and Jay Will. Patrick Ewing, the last time he made an All-NBA team was in 1997. Here's the question. Who was the next Knicks player to make one?
I almost misread the question.
You think you know?
I thought it said the last Knicks player. I was going to say, that's too
next.
Easy.
The next after next. Ewing. The answer is next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you.
Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
All right, the pressure's on the fellas. Here we go. Zach and Jay. Patrick Ewing last made an All-NBA team in 1997. Who was the next Knicks player after that to make one?
So we kind of tossed around Allen Houston. We tossed around Amari Stoudemire and Melo. Melo feels too obvious. I got drafted with Stat. We confirmed we're going to go with Stat.
That Amari would be my answer. I'm going to defer to you.
I'll go with Amari. I'll go with Stoudemire.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Look how excited he is.
3 days in a row.
That is
Colin,
so well
me to go with it.
Amari Stoudemire in 20.
I don't think Allen Houston ever made one.
You're right.
Not as a Knick. Amari Stoudemire in 2011, Carmelo Anthony, and Tyson Chandler in 2012.
Oh, okay.
Very nicely done. Down goes Hembo and I, my friends.
And my week.
Meanwhile, Jay, I need you. Jay, Will, I need you. What's your number is the next game? Jay, how many points will Jalen Brunson score for the Knicks tonight?
I'm going to go – I think he's going to have a big game. Even if they give him a different look defensively, I mean, the guy's been averaging 35 points per game. I'm going to go 30.
30. 30 for Jalen Brunson tonight. Chinay, let's go to points plus rebounds plus assists combined for Josh Hart. What number are we looking at?
Like, the most respectful way I can say this, this is the ultimate utility player. I'm going to go with 20 and 12 rebounds and 4 assists for the combination of 36 for Mr. Do-It-All.
It's the second time today you've made me do math. Drea, Tyrese Halliburton. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Shakespeare, baby.
In New York. How many points for him?
Yeah, you know, he struggled in game one with 6 points, and then game two, fired back with 34 points. I'm going in the 20s. 27 points for Tyrese Halliburton. Who to watch for? Pascal Siakam. I think that's going to be the key for the Pacers. But Tyrese Halliburton gets a smooth 27 points.
All right, so that was the game. What's your number? Now let's go to the more important game. Here's the one that decides everything. Who ya got? The Pacers, as I told you earlier, are a 7.5-point home favorite tonight. That is a remarkably high number. For perspective, the Knicks were a 4.5-point favorite at home for game two. So the injuries matter a lot. Cindy, put the picks on the screen. And let's see. That's pretty much what I expected.
And
we're
going to
get
win.
A response tonight. Yeah. I think Pacers are going to get a response from the way Rick Carlisle and company, the way they looked at game two and game one, defending home court the first game. I think the game for the Knicks to get is game four. I think that's what they're going to be their best odds.
That's Sunday afternoon. How do you see it going tonight?
Well, all of us picking the Pacers makes me feel like the Knicks are going to win because, of course, that always happens.
Have some confidence, Trae.
But I do feel like the Pacers' response, the way they play, knocking down shots, I think defensively we are going to see a difference. And then with OG Anunoby out, that's going to be a key for the Knicks.
Well, the best thing if the Pacers win, their video staff won't have to spend all their time submitting.
70 plus. How do I top that?
Like a lot of that is just the officiating. You weren't here, you know, for a lot of this conversation with us earlier in the week. Obviously, you've been talking about it everywhere else. Like that feels like such a distant storyline now, based on the injuries. I think going into tonight, Rick Carlisle was thinking, I'm going to make that the story here and have everyone watching. I feel like the injuries have completely replaced that as the storyline of this series.
It's a big storyline because it's not just a storyline for this series. It's a storyline for a Knicks team that would have been positioned, I think, to do damage beyond this series, to push at least Boston if Boston gets out of this series against Cleveland. And now it's just like the Knicks got to survive this series.
What do you think, Trinae?
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. I think that when you look at the Pacers, everything is tilting to their favor. They're back at home court. Tyrese Halliburton has finally had a better offensive game. Pascal Siakam, his stopper is not there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Turner, he's going to be effective. I think he's done things in spurts. So overall, Coach Carlisle, and he knows his team is predicated on offense, not defense, but he's setting themselves up to hopefully get more of a quote unquote, in what he would deem a fair whistle at home. So yeah, this is a must win for the Pacers in a way that the Knicks now, again, enjoy, relish, walking into an environment where they're considered once again the underdog.
Absolutely.
Even though they have the higher seed.
They certainly are, for this game at least. That's a 7.5 is a big number. So the Pacers basically playing for their season tonight. They're a young and up and coming team. The Nuggets are playing for their season tonight. They are the defending champs. And as Chiney said, you could make an argument that a dynasty is on the line tonight.
Oh, let's take a look. We settle down on
okay,
the
so
dynasty
what I meant is they're trying to build because they were favored to win it all, even over the team that had the biggest separation in the Celtics.
You said dynasty is on the line.
No.
It's on the line.
I put that word in your mouth.
No.
That's not what you said.
I said the word dynasty, but you're
right. But not in that context.
Dynasty is a soap opera.
No, but their chance of having like a 5-year stretch where they are overwhelmingly the best team, which honestly, a week ago I would have bet was going to happen.
It still happen.
Well, it rides on tonight's outcome,
what
right?
What if they lose this series and win the title next year?
Tell me they're going to lose this series and they're going to beat Anthony Edwards next year?
And the rest of the West
year?
Is going to take steps
anything
back?
Anything could happen.
What's going to happen tonight? Who wins this game tonight?
Well, you see, I have Minnesota. this felt like a series that didn't end in game two, but I've seen this movie before where a team unravels like that. It's hard to get it back, and they unraveled.
Can they get it back? You think they're going to get it back tonight? I'm looking at my board here. And Dre, you've got Minnesota.
No, I have Dre's with me. Yeah, I have Minnesota winning. Minnesota won in decisive fashion without the 4-time defensive player of the year on the floor, and they were on the road. Now they're back at home. They get him back. They seem like they have all the energy, all the momentum. There's nothing telling me that the Nuggets are going to win this game on the road.
Janae, I differ
because I think that if there was one game to unload the clip and say that we have to give all we've got, it's this game. Game three to reclaim the series. I think Denver has.
It's enough.
You're talking about 4-time defensive player of the year, 3-time MVP that a lot of people have questioned his performance in the first two games. So I think overall, they are going to come out with this last stand.
I'll save all the details for you guys. I'm going to tell you this. If the back-to-back champions do not win this game, I'm going to question a lot of their characters. Their character.
Easy.
But you think they can.
Easy.
You think they, no. They will.
I want to
question their character?
Yeah, Zach, because I want to see the fight and how they play.
What if they fight and lose by 5?
I want to see them fight. That's why I said I'm going to have questions around their character.
Just hope
like they may not fight. They laid down that last game against
Minnesota. This is my big point, though, here when it comes to the Denver Nuggets. We all expected with their talents that they should win, right? If they don't win this game, it's Timberwolves.
They got smacked.
Thank you. But the West is not getting easier for the years to come. This is their window. Their window is now.
No matter what happens, I just don't want them to throw anything on the court while the game is going on. At the conference semifinals continue with a couple of game threes tonight. We just went through it. Knicks Pacers at 7 Eastern. Nuggets Timberwolves. Countdown Crew kicks it off at 6:30 Eastern. First Take is right around the corner. How much blame does Jason Tatum take for last night? Did Frank Vogel get a fair shot? It's Molly, it's Stephen A., it's Chiney, it's Big Perk, it's Drea, and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by the all-new 3-part docuseries Black Twitter, A People's History, now streaming on Hulu. Before we run, Best of the Week, brought to you by Ace Hardware. Let's do it. You know what? When you're a little kid and you go to talk show host school, this is the day you dream about.
He's
looking at a nap at any point today.
Unlikely.
Let's go! Period. New paragraph. If Jalen Brunson is 6'2", I'm Yao Ming. I'm George Mirasan. I'll take someone even taller.
Y'all need to stop. I'm not trying to get in this conversation. That green layout.
Maybe later someone will explain to me what's going on.
That's exactly what went right over your head.
We'll discuss it later. I don't know.
I don't want to belabor this, but I'm going to anyway. It's like herding cats trying to get these three guys together.
I'm so tired of watching Greeny.
Yeah.
Kinesiology. We were talking kinesiology.
Hosted a game show once. It was called Duel. We called it that because the only two people who ever watched it shot each other.
I'll go with Latrell.
Latrell Sprewell is right.
Oh!
You hurt my hand.
Did you see
Brunson plus 26. If Brunson can play, they'll be all right. If he can't, if he...
It's on.
Just drop it. That was a mic drop.
That was better than
exactly. That was. Get a meme ready, everybody. I demand a meme. So much fun here every morning. We're so grateful every time you choose to get up with us. Knicks tonight, so Pacers, we like Pacers.
I got Pacers. And the fact that I've dominated Himbo the whole week.
Yep.
First
yep.
time ever I've dominated Himbo the whole week. The whole week.
That all right, really Himbo. Well played. Domination. Can we do this?
Enjoy the basketball. We'll see you Monday. First Take now. I own you.